will be pleased to honor the Emperor and oblige his wishes. Professor Selden, how little you know of the library. I have but to express a wish, however gently and tentatively, to make it certain that they will proceed in dudgeon to do the opposite. They are very sensitive to the slightest sign of imperial control. Selden said, Then what do I do? Why, I'll tell you what. A thought occurs to me. I am a member of the public, and I can visit the Galactic Library if I wish. It is located on the palace grounds, so I won't be violating protocol if I visit it. Well, you come with me, and we shall be ostentatiously friendly. I will not ask them for anything, but if they note us walking arm in arm, then perhaps some of the precious board of theirs may feel more kindly toward you than otherwise. But that's all I can do. And the deeply disappointed Selden wondered if that could possibly be enough. Chapter 12 Las Zenov said with a certain trace of awe in his voice, I didn't know you were so friendly with the Emperor, Professor Selden. Why not? He's a very democratic fellow for an emperor, and he was interested in my experiences as a first minister in Cleon's time. It made a deep impression on us all. We haven't had an emperor in our halls for many years. Generally, when the emperor needs something from the library... I can imagine. He calls for it, and it is brought to him as a matter of courtesy. There was once a suggestion, said Zenov chattily, that the Emperor be outfitted with a complete set of computerized equipment in his palace, hooked directly into the library system, so that he would not need to wait for service. This was in the old days when credits were plentiful, but, you know, it was voted down.
Was it?
Oh, yes. Almost the entire board agreed that it would make the Emperor too much a part of the library, and that this would threaten our independence from the government.
And does this board, which will not bend to honor an emperor, consent to let me remain at the library?
At the present moment, yes. There is a feeling, and I've done my best to encourage it, that if we are not polite to a personal friend of the Emperor, the chance of a rise in appropriations will be gone altogether. So
credits, or even the dim prospect of credits, talk.
I'm afraid so.
And can I bring in my colleagues? Zenov looked embarrassed.
I'm afraid not. The Emperor was seen walking only with you, not with your colleagues.
Zenov looked embarrassed.
I'm afraid not. The Emperor was seen walking only with you, not with your colleagues. I'm sorry, Professor.
Selden shrugged, and a mood of deep melancholy swept over him. He had no colleague to bring in anyhow. For some time he had hoped to locate others like Wanda, and he had failed. He, too, would need funding to mount an adequate search. And he, too, had nothing. Chapter 13 Trentor, the capital world city of the Galactic Empire, had changed considerably since the day Hari first stepped off the hypership from his native Helicon 38 years ago. Was it the pearly haze of an old man's memory that made the Trantor of old shine so brightly in his mind's eye, Harry wondered? Or perhaps it had been the exuberance of youth. How could a young man from a provincial outer world such as Helicon not be impressed by the gleaming towers, sparkling domes, the colorful rushing masses of people that had seemed to swirl through Trantor day and night, Now, Harry thought sadly, the walkways are nearly deserted, even in the full light of day. Roving gangs of thugs controlled various areas of the city, competing among themselves for territory. The security establishment had dwindled. Those who were left had their hands full processing complaints at the central office. Of course, security officers were dispatched as emergency calls came through, but they made it to the scene only after a crime was committed. They no longer made even a pretense of protecting the citizens of Trantor. A person went out at his own risk, and a great risk it was. And yet Harry Seldon still took that risk in the form of a daily walk, as if defying the forces that were destroying his beloved empire to destroy him as well. And so Harry Seldon walked along, limping and thoughtful. Nothing worked. Nothing. He had been unable to isolate the genetic pattern that set Wanda apart, and without that he was unable to locate others like her. Wanda's ability to read minds had sharpened considerably in the 6 years since she had identified the flaw in Hugo Amaril's Prime Radiant. Wanda was special in more ways than one. It was as if, once she realized that her mental ability set her apart from other people, she was determined to understand it, to harness its energy, to direct it. As she had progressed through her teen years, she had matured, throwing off the girlish giggles that had so endeared her to Harry. At the same time becoming even dearer to him in her determination to help him in his work with the powers of her gift. For Harry Seldon had told Wanda about his plan for a second foundation, and she had committed herself to realizing that goal with him. Today, though, Seldon was in a dark mood. He was coming to the conclusion that Wanda's mentalic ability would get him nowhere. He had no credits to continue his work, no credits to locate others like Wanda. No credits to pay his workers on the psychohistory project at Streeling. No credits to set up his all-important encyclopedia project at the Galactic Library. Now what? He continued to walk toward the Galactic Library. He would have been better off taking a gravicab, but he wanted to walk, limp or not. He needed time to think. He heard a cry. "There he is," but paid no attention. It came again. "There he is, psychohistory." The word forced him to look up. Psychohistory. A group of young men was closing in around him. Automatically, Seldon placed his back against the wall and raised his cane. "What is it you want?" They laughed. "Credits, old man. Do you have any credits?" "Maybe. But why do you want them from me? You said psychohistory. Do you know who I am?" "Sure. You're Raven Seldon," said the young man in the lead. He seemed both comfortable and pleased. "You're a creep," shouted another. "What are you going to do if I don't give you any credits?" "We'll beat you up," said the leader, "and we'll take them." "And if I give you my credits?" "We'll beat you up anyway." They all laughed. Harry Seldon raised his cane higher. "Stay away, all of you." By now he had managed to count them. There were 8. He felt himself choking slightly. Once he and Doors and Rach had been attacked by 10, and they had had no trouble. He had been only 32 at the time, and Doors was Doors. Now it was different. He waved his cane. The leader of the hoodlums said, "Hey, the old man is going to attack us. What are we going to do?" Seldon looked around swiftly. There were no security officers around, another indication of the deterioration of society. An occasional person or two passed by, but there was no use calling for help. Their footsteps increased in speed and made a wide detour. No one was going to run any risks of getting involved in an imbroglio. Selden said, "The first one of you who approaches gets a cracked head." "Yeah?" And the leader stepped forward rapidly and seized the cane. There was a short, sharp struggle, and the cane was wrested from Selden's grip. The leader tossed it to one side. "Now what, old man?" Selden shrunk back. He could only wait for the blows. They crowded around him, each eager to land a blow or two. Selden lifted his arms to try to ward them off. He could still twist, after a fashion. If he were facing only one or two, he might be able to twist his body, avoid their blows, strike back. But not against eight. Surely not against eight. He tried at any rate, moving quickly to one side to avoid the blows, and his right leg with its sciatica doubled under him. He fell, and knew himself to be utterly helpless. Then he heard a stentorian voice shouting, "What's going on here? Get back, you thugs! Back, or I'll kill you all!" The leader said, "Well, another old man." "Not that old," said the newcomer. With the back of one hand, he struck the leader's face, turning it an ugly red. Selden said in surprise, "Rach, it's you." Rach's hand swept back. "Stay out of this, Dad. Just get up and move away." The leader, rubbing his cheek, said, "We'll get you for that." "No, you won't," said Rach, drawing out a knife of Dahlite manufacture, long and gleaming. A second knife was withdrawn, and he now held one in each hand. Selden said weakly, "Still carrying knives, Rach?" "Always," said Rach. "Nothing will ever make me stop." "I'll stop you," said the leader, drawing out a blaster. Faster than the eye could follow, one of Rach's knives went sailing through the air and struck the leader's throat. He made a loud gasp, then a gurgling sound, and fell, while the other seven stared. Rach approached and said, "I want my knife back." He drew it out of the hoodlum's throat and wiped it on the man's shirt front. In doing so, he stepped on the man's hand, bent down, and picked up his blaster. Rach dropped the blaster into one of his capacious pockets. He said, "I don't like to use a blaster, you bunch of good-for-nothings, because sometimes I miss. I never miss with a knife, however. Never. That man is dead. There are seven of you standing. Do you intend to stay standing, or will you leave?" "Get him," shouted one of the hoodlums, and the seven made a concerted rush. Rach took a backward step. One knife flashed, and then the other, and two of the hoodlums stopped, with in each case a knife buried in his abdomen. "Give me back my knives," said Rach, pulling each out with a cutting motion and wiping them. "These two are still alive, but not for long. That leaves five of you on your feet. Are you going to attack again, or are you going to leave?" They turned, and Rach called out, "Pick up your dead and dying. I don't want them." Hastily, they flung the three bodies over their shoulders. Then they turned tail and ran. Rach bent to pick up Selden's cane. "Can you walk, Dad?" "Not very well," said Selden. "I twisted my leg." "Well then, get into my car. What were you doing walking anyway?" "Why not? Nothing's ever happened to me." "So you waited till something did. Get into my car, and I'll give you a lift back to Streeling." He programmed the ground car quietly, then said, "What a shame we didn't have doors with us. Mom would have attacked them with her bare hands and left all 8 dead in 5 minutes." Selden felt tears stinging his eyelids. "I know, Rach. I know. Do you think I don't miss her every day?" "I'm sorry," said Rach in a low voice. Selden asked, "How did you know I was in trouble?" "Wanda told me. She said there were evil people lying in wait for you, and told me where they were, and I took right off." "Didn't you doubt that she knew what she was talking about?" "Not at all. We know enough about her now to know that she has some sort of contact with your mind and with the things around you." "Did she tell you how many people were attacking me?" "No, she just said quite a few." "So you came out all by yourself, did you, Rach?"
"I had no time to put together a posse, Dad. Besides, one of me was enough."
"Yes, it was. Thank you, Rach." Chapter 14. They were back at Streeling now, and Selden's leg was stretched out on a hassock. Rach looked at him somberly. "Dad," he began, "you're not to go walking around Trentor on your own from now on." Selden frowned. "Why, because of one incident?" "It was enough of an incident. You can't take care of yourself any longer. You're 70 years old, and your right leg will not support you in an emergency. And you have enemies."
"Enemies?"
"Yes, indeed. And you know it. Those sewer rats were not after simply anyone. They were not looking for just any unwary person to rip off. They identified you by calling out psychohistory, and they called you a creep. Why do you suppose that was?"
"I don't know why."
"That's because you live in a world all your own, Dad, and you don't know what's going on Trentor. Don't you suppose the Trentorians know that their world is going downhill at a rapid rate? Don't you suppose they know that your psychohistory has been predicting this for years? Doesn't it occur to you that they may blame the messenger for the message? If things go bad, and they are going bad, there are many who think that you are responsible for it."
"I can't believe that."
"Why do you suppose there's a faction at the Galactic Library that wants you out of there? They don't want to be in the way when you are mobbed. So you've got to take care of yourself. You can't go out alone. I'll have to be with you, or you will have to have bodyguards. That's the way it's going to be, Dad."
Selden looked dreadfully unhappy.
Rach softened and said, "But not for long, Dad. I've got a new job."
Selden looked up. "A new job? What kind?"
"Teaching, at a university."
"Which university?"
"Santani."
Selden's lips trembled. "Santani, that's 9,000 parsecs away from Trentor. It's a provincial world on the other side of the galaxy."
"Exactly. That's why I want to go there. I've been on Trentor all my life, Dad, and I'm tired of it. There's no world in all the Empire that's deteriorating the way Trentor is. It's become a haunt of crime, with no one to protect us. The economy is limping. The technology is failing. Santani, on the other hand, is a decent world, still humming along. And I want to be there to build a new life, along with Manella and Wanda and Bellis. We're all going there in 2 months."
"All of you?"
"And you, Dad. And you. We wouldn't leave you behind on Trentor. You're coming with us to Santani."
Selden shook his head.
"Impossible, Rach. You know that."
Why impossible? You know why. The project. My psychohistory. Are you asking me to abandon my life's work?
Why not? It's abandoned you.
You're mad.
No, I'm not.
Where are you going with it? You have no credits. You can't get any. There's no one left on Trantor who's willing to support you.
For nearly 40 years.
Yes, I admit that. But after all that time, you've failed, Dad. There's no crime in failing. You've tried so hard and you've gone so far, but you've run into a deteriorating economy, a falling empire. It's the very thing you've been predicting for so long that's stopping you at last. So,
no, I will not stop. Somehow or other, I will keep going.
I tell you what, Dad, if you're really going to be so stubborn, then take psychohistory with you. Start it again on Santeni. There may be enough credits and enthusiasm to support it there.
And the men and women who have been working for me so faithfully?
Oh, bull, Dad. They've been leaving you because you can't pay them. You hang around here for the rest of your life and you'll be alone. Oh, come on, Dad. Do you think I like to talk to you this way? It's because no one has wanted to, because no one has had the heart to, that you're in your present predicament.
Let's be honest with each other now. When you walk the streets of Trantor and you're attacked for no reason other than that you're Harry Seldon, don't you think it's time for a little bit of truth?
Never mind the truth. I have no intention of leaving Trantor.
Rach shook his head.
I was sure you'd be stubborn, Dad. You've got 2 months to change your mind. Think about it, will you?
Chapter 15. It had been a long time since Harry Seldon had smiled. He had conducted the project in the same fashion that he always did, pushing always forward in the development of psychohistory, making plans for the foundation, studying the prime radiant. But he did not smile. All he did was to force himself through his work without any feeling of impending success. Rather, there was a feeling of impending failure about everything.
And now, as he sat in his office at Streeling University, Wanda entered. He looked up at her, and his heart lifted. Wanda had always been special.
Seldon couldn't put his finger on just when he and the others had started accepting her pronouncements with more than the usual enthusiasm. It just seemed always to have been that way. As a little girl, she had saved his life with her uncanny knowledge of lemonade death, and all through her childhood she had somehow just known things. Although Dr. Endelecki had asserted that Wanda's genome was perfectly normal in every way, Seldon was still positive that his granddaughter possessed mental abilities far beyond those of average humans. And he was just as sure that there were others like her in the galaxy, on Trantor even. If only he could find them, these mentalics, what a great contribution they could make to the Foundation. The potential for such greatness all centered in his beautiful granddaughter. Seldon gazed at her, framed in his office doorway, and he felt as if his heart would break. In a few days, she would be gone. How could he bear it? She was such a beautiful girl. 18. Long blonde hair, face a little broad, but with a tendency to smile. She was even smiling now, and Seldon thought, why not? She's heading for Santani and for a new life. He said, well, Wanda, just a few more days.
No, I don't think so, Grandpa.
He stared at her.
What?
Wanda approached him and put her arms around him.
I'm not going to Santani.
Have your father and mother changed their minds?
No, they're going.
And you're not?
Why?
Where are you going?
I'm going to stay here, Grandpa, with you.
She hugged him. Poor Grandpa. But I don't understand. Why? Are they allowing this?
You mean Mom and Dad?
Not really. We've been arguing over this for weeks, but I've won out.
Why not, Grandpa? They'll go to Santani, and they'll have each other, and they'll have little Bellis, too.
But if I go with them and leave you here, you'll have no one. I don't think I could stand that.
But how did you get them to agree?
Well, you know, I pushed.
What does that mean?
It's my mind. I can see what you have in yours and in theirs, and as time goes on, I can see more clearly, and I can push them to do what I want.
How do you do that?
I don't know. But after a while, they get tired of being pushed, and they're willing to let me have my way. So I'm going to stay with you.
Selden looked up at her with helpless love.
This is wonderful, Wanda. But Bellis...
Don't worry about Bellis. She doesn't have a mind like mine.
Are you certain?
Selden chewed at his lower lip.
Quite certain. Besides, Mom and Dad have to have someone, too.
Selden wanted to rejoice, but he couldn't do so openly. There were Rach and Manila. What of them?
He said, Wanda, what about your parents? Can you be so cold-blooded about them?
I'm not cold-blooded. They understand. They realize I must be with you.
How did you manage that?
I pushed, said Wanda simply, and eventually they came to see it my way.
You can do that?
It wasn't easy.
And you did it because... Selden paused.
Wanda said, Because I love you.
Of course.
And because...
Yes.
I must learn psychohistory. I know quite a bit of it already.
How?
From your mind, from the minds of others at the project, especially from Uncle Hugo before he died. But it's in rags and tatters so far. I want the real thing, Grandpa. I want a prime radiant of my own.
Her face lit up, and her words came quickly with passion.
I want to study psychohistory in great detail. Grandpa, you're quite old and quite tired. I'm young and eager. I want to learn all I can so I can carry on when...
Selden said, Well, that would be wonderful, if you could do it. But there is no funding anymore. I'll teach you all I can... We can't do anything.
We'll see, Grandpa. We'll see.
Chapter 16 Rach, Manila, and little Bellis were waiting at the spaceport. The hypership was preparing for liftoff, and the three had already checked their baggage. Rach said,
Dad, come along with us.
Selden shook his head. I cannot.
If you change your mind, we will always have a place for you.
I know it, Rach. We've been together for almost 40 years, and they've been good years. Doris and I were lucky to find you.
I'm the lucky one.
His eyes filled with tears.
Don't think I don't think of Mother every day.
Yes. Selden looked away miserably. Wanda was playing with Bellis when the call rang out for everyone to board the hypership.
They did, after a tearful last embrace of Wanda by her parents. Rach looked back to wave at Selden and to try to plant a crooked smile on his face. Selden waved, and one hand moved out blindly to embrace Wanda's shoulders. She was the only one left. One by one through his long life, he had lost his friends and those he had loved. Demerzel had left, never to return. Emperor Cleon was gone. His beloved Doors was gone. His faithful friend Hugo Amaryl was gone. And now Rach, his only son, was gone as well. He was left only with Wanda. Chapter 17. Harry Selden said, "It is beautiful outside, a marvelous evening. Considering that we live under a dome, you would think we would have beautiful weather like this every evening." Wanda said indifferently, "We would grow tired of it, Grandpa, if it were beautiful all the time. A little change from night to night is good for us." "For you, because you're young, Wanda, you have many, many evenings ahead of you. I don't. I want more good ones." "Now, Grandpa, you're not old. Your leg is doing well, and your mind is as sharp as ever. I know."
"Sure. Go ahead. Make me feel better."
He then said with an air of discomfort, "I want to walk. I want to get out of this tiny apartment and take a walk to the library and enjoy this beautiful evening."
"What do you want at the library?"
"At the moment, nothing. I want the walk, but..."
"Yes, but?"
"I promised Rach I wouldn't go walking around Trantor without a bodyguard."
"Rach isn't here."
"I know," mumbled Selden, "but a promise is a promise."
"He didn't say who the bodyguard should be, did he? Let's go for a walk, and I'll be your bodyguard."
"You?" Selden grinned.
"Yes, me. I hereby volunteer my services. Get yourself ready, and we'll go for a walk."
Selden was amused. He had half a mind to go without his cane, since his leg was scarcely painful of late. But on the other hand, he had a new cane, one in which the head had been filled with lead. It was both heavier and stronger than his old cane. And if he was going to have none other than Wanda as a bodyguard, he thought he had better bring his new cane. The walk was delightful, and Selden was terribly glad he had given in to the temptation, until they reached a certain spot. Selden lifted his cane in a mixture of anger and resignation and said, "Look at that." Wanda lifted her eyes. The dome was glowing, as it always did in the evening, in order to lend an air of first twilight. It grew darker as night went on, of course. What Selden was pointing at, however, was a strip of darkness along the dome. A section of lights had gone out. Selden said, "When I first came to Trantor, anything like that was unthinkable. There were people tending the lights at all times. The city worked. But now it is falling apart in all these little ways, and what bothers me most is that no one cares. Why aren't there petitions to the Imperial Palace? Why aren't there meetings of indignation? It is as though the people of Trantor expect the city to be falling apart, and then they find themselves annoyed with me because I am pointing out that this is exactly what is happening." Wanda said softly,
"Grandpa, there are two men behind us."
They had walked into the shadows beneath the broken dome lights, and Selden asked, "Are they just walking?"
"No."
Wanda did not look at them. She did not have to.
They're after you.
Can you stop them? Push them?
I'm trying, but there are two, and they are determined. It's like pushing a wall.
How far behind me are they?
About 3 meters.
Closing in?
Yes, Grandpa.
Tell me when they're a meter behind me. He slid his hand down his cane till he was holding the thin end, leaving the leaded head swinging free.
Now, Grandpa, hissed Wanda.
And Selden turned, swinging his cane. It came down hard upon the shoulder of one of the men behind him, who went down with a scream, writhing on the pavement. Selden said, Where's the other guy?
He took off.
Selden looked down on the man on the ground and put his foot on his chest. He said, Go through his pockets, Wanda. Someone must have paid him, and I'd like to find his credit file. Perhaps I can identify where they came from. He added thoughtfully, I meant to hit him on the head.
You'd have killed him, Grandpa.
Selden nodded. It's what I wanted to do. Rather shameful. I'm lucky I missed. A harsh voice said,
What is all this?
A figure in uniform came running up, perspiring.
Give me that cane, you.
Officer, said Selden mildly.
You can give me your story later. We've got to call an ambulance for this poor man.
Poor man, said Selden angrily. He was going to assault me. I acted in self-defense.
I saw it happen, said the security officer. This guy never laid a finger on you. You turned on him and struck him without provocation. That's not self-defense. That's assault and battery.
Officer, I'm telling you that...
Don't tell me anything. You can tell it in court.
Wanda said in a sweet, small voice,
Officer, if you will just listen to us...
The officer said,
You go along home, young lady.
Wanda drew herself up.
I most certainly won't, officer. Where my grandfather goes, there go I.
Her eyes flashed, and the security officer muttered,
Well, come along then.
Chapter 18. Selden was enraged. I've never been in custody before in my entire life. A couple of months ago, 8 men assaulted me. I was able to fight them off with the help of my son. But while that was going on, was there a security officer in sight? Did people stop to help me? No. This time I'm better prepared, and I knocked a man flat who had been about to assault me. Was there a security officer in sight? Absolutely. She put the collar on me. There were people watching, too. And they were amused at seeing an old man being taken in for assault and battery. What kind of world do we live on? Siv Novker, Selden's lawyer, sighed and said calmly, A corrupt world, but don't worry, nothing will happen to you. I'll get you out on bail, and then eventually you'll come back for trial before a jury of your peers. And the most you'll get, the very most, are some hard words from the bench. Your age and your reputation... Forget my reputation, said Selden, still angry. I'm a psychohistorian, and at the present time that is a dirty word. They'll be glad to see me in jail. No, they won't, said Novker. There may be some screwballs who have it in for you, but I'll see to it that none of them gets on the jury. Wanda said,
Do we really have to subject my grandfather to all this? He's not a young man anymore. Can't we just appear before the magistrate and not bother with a jury trial?
The lawyer turned to her. It can be done. If you're insane, maybe. Magistrates are impatient, power-mad people who would just as soon put a person into jail for a year as listen to him. No one goes up before a magistrate.
I think we should, said Wanda.
Selden said, Well now, Wanda, I think we ought to listen to Siv. But as he said that, he felt a strong churning in his abdomen. It was Wanda's push. Selden said, Well, if you insist.
She can't insist, said the lawyer. I won't allow it.
Wanda said, My grandfather is your client. If he wants something done his way, you've got to do it.
I can refuse to represent him.
Well then, leave, said Wanda sharply, and we'll face the magistrate alone.
Novker thought and said, Very well then, if you're going to be so adamant. I've represented Harry for years, and I suppose I won't abandon him now. But I warn you, the chances are he'll get a jail sentence, and I'll have to work like the devil to get it lifted, if I can do it at all.
I'm not afraid, said Wanda.
Selden bit his lip, and the lawyer turned to him. What about you? Are you willing to let your granddaughter call the shots? Selden thought a bit, then admitted, much to the old lawyer's surprise, Yes. Yes, I am.
Chapter 19.
The magistrate looked sourly at Selden as he gave his story. The magistrate said, What makes you think it was the intention of this man you struck to attack you? Did he strike you? Did he threaten you? Did he in any way place you under bodily fear? My granddaughter was aware of his approach, and was quite certain that he was planning to attack me.
Surely, sir, that cannot be enough.
Is there anything else you can tell me before I pass judgment? Well now, wait a while, said Selden indignantly. Don't pass judgment so quickly. I was assaulted a few weeks ago by 8 men whom I held off with the help of my son. So you see, I have reason to think that I might be assaulted again.
The magistrate shuffled his papers. Assaulted by 8 men. Did you report that?
There were no security officers around, not one.
Aside from the point, did you report it?
No, sir.
Why not?
For one thing, I was afraid of getting into long, drawn-out legal proceedings. Since we had driven off 8 men and were safe, it seemed useless to ask for more trouble.
How did you manage to ward off 8 men, just you and your son?
Selden hesitated. My son is now on Santani and outside Trantorian control. Thus, I can tell you that he had Dalite knives and was expert in their use. He killed 1 man and badly hurt 2 others. The rest ran, carrying off the dead and wounded.
But you did not report the death of a man and the wounding of 2 others?
No, sir. Same reason as before. And we fought in self-defense. However, if you can track down the 3 dead and wounded, you will have evidence that we were attacked.
The magistrate said, Track down 1 dead and 2 wounded, nameless, faceless Trantorians? Are you aware that on Trantor over 2,000 people are found dead every day by knife wounds alone? Unless these things are reported to us at once, we are helpless.
Your story of being assaulted once before will not hold water. What we must do is deal with the events of today, which were reported, and which had a security officer as a witness. So let's consider the situation as of now. Why do you think the fellow was going to attack? Simply because you happened to be passing by? Because you seemed old and defenseless? Because you looked like you might be carrying a great deal of credits? What do you think?
I think, Magistrate, it was because of who I am.
The Magistrate looked at his papers.
You are Harry Selden, a professor and a scholar. Why should that make you subject to assault particularly?
Because of my views.
Your views? Well.
The Magistrate shuffled some papers perfunctorily. Suddenly he stopped and looked up, peering at Selden.
Wait, Harry Selden.
A look of recognition spread across his face.
You're the psychohistory buff, aren't you?
Yes, Magistrate.
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about it except the name and the fact that you go around predicting the end of the Empire or something like that.
Not quite, Magistrate. But my views have become unpopular because they are proving to be true. I believe it is for that reason that there are those who want to assault me, or, even more likely, are being paid to assault me.
The Magistrate stared at Selden, and then called over the arresting security officer.
Did you check up on the man who was hurt? Does he have a record?
The security officer cleared her throat.
Yes, sir. He's been arrested several times. Assault. Mugging.
Oh, he's a repeat offender, is he? And does the professor have a record?
No, sir.
So we have an old and innocent man fighting off a known mugger, and you arrest the old and innocent man. Is that it?
The security officer was silent. The Magistrate said,
You may go, Professor.
Thank you, sir. May I have my cane?
The Magistrate said,
You may go, Professor.
Thank you, sir. May I have my cane? The Magistrate snapped his fingers at the officer, who handed over the cane.
But one thing, Professor, said the Magistrate. If you use that cane again, you had better be absolutely certain you can prove it was in self-defense. Otherwise...
Yes, sir. And Harry Selden left the Magistrate's chambers, leaning heavily on his cane, but with his head held high.
Chapter 20. Wanda was crying bitterly, her face wet with tears, her eyes red, her cheeks swollen. Harry Selden hovered over her, patting her on the back, not knowing quite how to comfort her.
Grandpa, I'm a miserable failure. I thought I could push people, and I could when they didn't mind being pushed too much, like Mom and Dad, and even then it took a long time. I even worked out a rating system of sorts, based on a 10-point scale, sort of a mental pushing power gauge. Only I assumed too much. I assumed that I was a 10, or at least a 9, but now I realize that at most I rate a 7.
Wanda's crying had stopped, and she sniffed occasionally as Harry stroked her hand.
Usually I have no trouble. If I concentrate, I can hear people's thoughts, and when I want, I push them. But those muggers, I could hear them all right, but there was nothing I could do to push them away.
I thought you did very well, Wanda.
I didn't. I had a fantasy. I thought people would come up behind you, and in one mighty push I'd send them flying. That way, I was going to be your bodyguard. That's why I offered to be your bodyguard. Only I wasn't. Those two guys came up and I couldn't do a thing.
But you could. You made the first man hesitate. That gave me a chance to turn and clobber him.
No, no. I had nothing to do with it. All I could do was warn you he was there, and you did the rest.
The second man ran away.
Because you clobbered the first guy, I had nothing to do with it.
She broke out again in tears of frustration.
And then the magistrate. I insisted on the magistrate. I thought I would push, and he would let you go at once.
He did let me go, and it was practically at once.
No, he put you through a miserable routine and saw the light only when he realized who you were. I had nothing to do with it. I flopped everywhere. I could have gotten you into so much trouble.
No, I refuse to accept that, Wanda. If your pushing didn't work quite as well as you had hoped it would, it was only because you were working under emergency conditions. You couldn't have helped it. But Wanda, look, I have an idea.
Catching the excitement in his voice, she looked up.
What kind of idea, Grandpa?
Well, it's like this, Wanda. You probably realize that I've got to have credits. Psychohistory simply can't continue without it, and I cannot bear the thought of having it all come to nothing after so many years of hard work.
I can't bear it either, but how can we get the credits?
Well, I'm going to request an audience with the Emperor again. I've seen him once already, and he's a good man, and I like him. But he's not exactly drowning in wealth. However, if I take you with me, and if you push him, gently, it may be that he will find a source of credits, some source somewhere, and keep me going for a while till I can think of something else.
Do you really think it will work, Grandpa?
Not without you, but with you, maybe. Come, isn't it worth trying?
Wanda smiled.
You know I'll do anything you ask, Grandpa. Besides, it's our only hope.
Chapter 21. It was not difficult to see the Emperor. Aegis's eyes sparkled as he greeted Harry Seldon.
Hello, old friend, he said. Have you come to bring me bad luck?
I hope not, said Seldon.
Aegis unhooked the elaborate cloak he was wearing, and with a weary grunt threw it into the corner of the room, saying,
And you lie there.
He looked at Seldon and shook his head.
I hate that thing. It's as heavy as sin and as hot as blazes. I always have to wear it when I'm being smothered under meaningless words, standing there upright like a carved image. It's just plain horrible. Cleon was born to it, and he had the appearance for it. I was not, and I don't. It's just my misery that I'm a third cousin of his on my mother's side, so that I qualified as emperor. I'd be glad to sell it for a very small sum. Would you like to be emperor, Harry?
No, no, I wouldn't dream of it, so don't get your hopes up, said Seldon, laughing.
But tell me, who is this extraordinarily beautiful young woman you have brought with you today?
Wanda flushed, and the emperor said genially,
You mustn't let me embarrass you, my dear. One of the few perquisites an emperor possesses is the right to say anything he chooses. No one can object or argue about it. They can only say, Sire. However, I don't want any sires from you. I hate that word. Call me Aegis. That's not my birth name either. It's my imperial name, and I've got to get used to it.
So, tell me what's doing, Harry. What's been happening to you since the last time we met?
Selden said briefly, I've been attacked twice. The Emperor didn't seem to be sure whether this was a joke or not. He said,
Twice? Really?
The Emperor's face darkened as Selden told the story of the assaults.
I suppose there wasn't a security officer around when those 8 men threatened you.
Not one. The Emperor rose from his chair and gestured at the other two to keep theirs. He walked back and forth as though he were trying to work off some anger. Then he turned and faced Selden.
For thousands of years, he began, whenever something like this happened, people would say, Why don't we appeal to the Emperor? Or, Why doesn't the Emperor do something? And in the end, the Emperor can do something, and does do something, even if it isn't always the intelligent thing to do. But Harry, I'm powerless. Absolutely powerless. Oh, yes, there is the so-called Commission of Public Safety, but they seem more concerned with my safety than that of the public. It's a wonder we're having this audience at all, for you are not at all popular with the Commission.
There's nothing I can do about anything.
Do you know what's happened to the status of the Emperor since the fall of the Junta and the restoration of, imperial power?
I think I do.
I'll bet you don't fully. We've got democracy now. Do you know what democracy is?
Certainly. Aegis frowned. He said,
I'll bet you think it's a good thing.
I think it can be a good thing.
Well, there you are. It isn't. It's completely upset the Empire. Suppose I want to order more officers onto the streets of Trantor. In the old days, I would pull over a piece of paper prepared for me by the Imperial Secretary and would sign it with a flourish, and there would be more security officers. Now I can't do anything of the sort. I have to put it before the legislature. There are 7,500 men and women who instantly turn into uncounted gaggles of geese the instant a suggestion is made. In the first place, where is the funding to come from? You can't have, say, 10,000 more officers without having to pay 10,000 more salaries. Then, even if you agreed to something of the sort, who selects the new security officers? Who controls them? The legislature shouts at each other, argues, thunders and lightens, and in the end, nothing is done. Harry, I couldn't even do as small a thing as fix the broken dome lights you noticed. How much will it cost? Who's in charge? Oh, the lights will be fixed, but it can easily take a few months to do it. That's democracy.
Harry Selden said, As I recall, the Emperor Cleon was forever complaining that he could not do what he wished to do.
The Emperor Cleon, said Aegis impatiently, had 2 first-class first ministers, Demerzel and yourself, and you each labored to keep Cleon from doing anything foolish. I have 7,500 first ministers, all of whom are foolish from start to finish. But surely, Harry, you haven't come to complain to me about the attacks.
No, I haven't. Something much worse. Sire, Aegis, I need credits. The Emperor stared at him.
After what I've been telling you, Harry, I have no credits. Oh, yes, there are credits to run this establishment, of course. But in order to get them, I have to face my 7,500 legislators. If you think I can go to them and say,
I want credits for my friend Harry Seldon, and if